Have love to join us today. Yeah, today we'll be having our very beloved guest speaker. His name is Pastor Mosio Chen. If y'all have, we have screened the Calvary Chapel Origins movie, The Jesus Revolution, here before a few months back. So he is from that church, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. So a little bit of a background for those who don't know who he is. He used to be an engineer, and the Lord has called him to ministry. His wife is also Evelyn, not to be confused. And they used to live in California, and now they're actually here between Singapore and Taiwan. So they have been preaching previously, or as missionaries all around Southeast Asia. So today he'll be bringing us the message titled, "What Presents Are You Giving This Christmas?" from Hebrews 10:24. That's the message.
Good morning, everybody. Now we are all awakened. Shortly, I'll be telling you something private. Okay, so I lower increase the intensity of curiosity to draw the people from the back to the front. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love. And the two words is taken from Hebrew. Here we bow our heads. Father God, we just want to thank you. Today, the whole world celebrates Christmas, the gift from you, your Son, Jesus Christ. And we bless your holy name. And may you grant us the special inspiration. May your spirit pour afresh on us today as we are here to worship you. May we all hear your word from your scriptures. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Well, the private thing I want to say is this. Pastor invited me to speak a few months ago, and I already prepared a message long time ago. But later in the month, in the last month or so, things happened. And I felt I need to include them because I believe the message should be current and relevant. So now there are two messages in one. So you have to bear with me, and submit to the word of God. And the scripture I also take from Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It's such a powerful message, scripture. You say to your neighbor, say to your family, the same thing Jesus said. You are the light of the world. Light. You know, you say, I'm a small light, great. But in the darkness, a small light shines ever brighter. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Christmas is a time to give gifts and to receive gifts. Some interesting stories in the Google I searched. There was a young man, 17 years old, and he received the gift of a watch for his mother. The value was 700 euro. No, it was wrong. 700,000 euro. Okay. Now, not to be outdone, when he wore the watch, he went to the front yard. He saw on the front lawn a helicopter gift for his father. How about that? Well, different story. All right, a young couple, they just make well, just ends meet. You know, they don't have lots of surplus, don't have too much money. And they have one problem. This woman's parents, very rich, see? So now we have a different story. Now, this young couple didn't know what to buy as a present, Christmas present for her wealthy parents. But later, when they had children, then they discovered the grandparents love these grandchildren. Ah, they say, good. So they provide the opportunities for their children to be with their grandparents. So, you know, there are many ways to celebrate Christmas. There are many ways to buy presents. There are many ways to give gifts. And we hope God will tell us how to do it and what to do. I think the best way in Christmas is to share the gospel message. God has given his son. On the way to the church today, I was in a long bus ride. Next, sitting next to me was an elderly Indian lady. And I had never seen, through our 5 minutes of conversation, I never seen an Indian nodding the head. But normally they go like this, right? Yeah. But today she was all smile and she went like this. And I couldn't stop my stories. I said to her, you know, on Christmas, are you going to church or that? She smiled. She go like this. So that was an interesting ride. Our family moved to the United States about 40 years ago. Interestingly, we left, you know, with our children young, 7 and 4 young daughters. And, you know, we got a long-term pass from Singapore government. The last March this year, exactly to the month, 40 years later. You know, I find it very amazing. Things just don't happen. You know, our lives, many things happen, they don't happen by chance. Every event has its meaning. And we return to the month 40 years later. And I first went to America, didn't know what to do. I was the engineer. We had our business in Singapore, and I didn't know. So I joined my mother. You know, she ran a retail, high-end retail business. So I joined her. And I had to learn everything because it's a totally different field. I learned that the period in America between Thanksgiving and the Christmas, just over a month. If you run a retail business, you need to generate about 40% of your annual premium in a month, right? Over a year, you have to generate 40%. If you don't, you go under. So that's so important. So I did a little search about this year, 2023. The forecast for United States this year, for this short period of time, retail, many of them are gifts. Expensive, cheap, you know, is coming to about $1 trillion. Can you imagine that? This amount represents the combined GDP of Singapore and Malaysia. You know, the work of these two nations for the whole year. This amount equivalent to that. That's totally amazing. When people buy and give gifts, it wasn't easy. And people got to think what to buy, how much to buy, you know, and when to deliver the gifts. So a lot of thinking going to your plans. But you know, even the retail business went up in America the last, you know, couple of years, it continued to rise. So as the stock prices continue to rise. But sadly to speak, the church attendance is on the way, different course, right? And it went down. the church attendance in all different faiths went down. It used to be 70% of the population attending to various faiths, churches. For 100 years, it's about 70% up and down a bit. When the crisis came, like 9/11, the attendance went up. After the 9/11, it went down a bit, but somehow it's 70%. For the last 20 years, that 70% declined to only 40-some percent. So people's heart went away from God. That's pretty sad. It's not a good story, not a good trend, for this country, United States founded on the religious freedom. And they, we know their ancestors ran from Europe because of religious persecution, right? They went to Holland and they went to America. And the trend is not healthy. We know that because people actually everywhere, not only America, everywhere, are more depending on big governments and the human institutions rather than the benevolence of God. Our God is still on the throne. He is at work. He is not sleeping. He is at work through you and me. During our recent visit to California, we stayed in this long-term stay hotel in Lake Forest. It's a beautiful city with about 50 miles south of Los Angeles. A breakfast, this hotel provides very good breakfast. We noticed an elderly lady, a Caucasian, sitting on a wheelchair. So a few days later, we see each other, we didn't know each other. A few days later, I went to her. I introduced myself and told her that I noticed that she has a special countenance on her face. And she was very pleased with what I said. That was the first of many conversations next period of time. And she said to me she was a Catholic when she was younger. Later on became a Christian. And now she says she doesn't believe in anything. So I encouraged her with the scriptures. And she was kind of receptive, she was open. She was pleased with what I was saying. And she one day accepted my offer to pray for her. And during all these conversations, her husband was quiet and sitting nearby and watching us. My wife was sitting alongside praying quietly. And interestingly, the same dining table, people eat their breakfast. There are another couple, husband and wife, also from Calvary Chapel. Think how interesting. So I said to her, I said, God loves you so much. He sent four angels to minister to you. And she said, wow, that's unusual. People from all over the world, and these four people, me and my wife, and these two, are from Calvary Chapel. And I played for her a song from YouTube. I think that song, I don't know whether we can do it here at all, but we'll see. The song was from Anne Murray. Maybe some of you may remember. 1970, it was a Christian music hit. Put your hand in the hand of a man that steals the weapon. When I prepare this sermon, when I play this music for her, this music came alive in my head day and night. It's a beautiful song. Put your hand. We all need to do that. Particularly, as we grow older, we face so many uncertainties. We need to put our hand in the hand of the man who steal the water. That's from Matthew, the story from Matthew 8:26. Remember the storm, and the disciples were afraid, and that Jesus was asleep, They went to Jesus, Master, you are not scared. We are going to die. Jesus stood up and he rebuked the sea and the wind all cleared up. Remember that story? For that's the hand. The man's hand can steal the water. Well, for those of us who have not yet bought our presents and do not know what to do, how to spend, consider this. There is a woman in America, very famous, a personal financial advisor, Susie Orman. Oh, she's very good. Okay. She said that when you give gifts, the value of the gift depending on one's value. I say it again. When you want to buy a gift, you want to spend $10, $100, $1,000 or more, the value of the gift depends on the value of someone. I want to ask you this question. Okay. You may want to answer me. The value depending on the giver, you, or depending on the person who received the gift. Think about it. You're giving a gift to somebody, the value you determine you want to spend, depending on your own value, the giver, or the person receiving it. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, that is a rich man. I cannot give a cheap gift. Otherwise, that is a kid. We can buy something at cheap point. No, the answer is your own value, the giver's value. So on Christmas, God gives us the best gift, not because we value very much, because God's value. His standard, his value, he gave his son only because of his son to us. His value. So next time when you give a gift, remember, it's your value, not the recipient's value. Okay? I'm sure most of you have already wrapped your presents, and some of you may not be ready, and you're ready to rush out after the church service to buy the present. I remember, you know, the retail business we run on the 24th. Man, I tell you, the store, you know, my mother and me would run the store. The line outside, no end. You know, people just line up and come in to buy this and that. And some people come from very far away. They just return home and came to our store and buy something and for their loved ones. The line is so long, right? This is very rare, you know. Throughout the year, you don't see that kind of crowd. And but remember the years that we spent Christmas Eve in America, and the shop we ran was just overcrowded. People just came in, the whole shop was full of people. But this Christmas, what are you gonna buy? I want to encourage you in your prayers. Present your loved ones to the throne of grace. Ask God to give you the opportunity. The opportunity comes from God. And the courage to open your mouth to speak the word of wisdom to those people you love, to those people you care. That Jesus came because God loved us. I think. There is no, you know, this thing came to my mind after I prepared my message, actually. Let me dig it out. I don't want to miss that. There's no greater power in this universe to forgive. And only God can forgive sins. Remember, there's no greater power as to forgive. And for us, the receiving end, no greater blessing than to be forgiven. You know, we know the verse very well, but God so loved the world, right? We know that. John 3:16. Yes, God loved the world, he sent his son. But you know, it had to be said by Jesus on the cross The first of his seven statements, Father, forgive them. So Jesus had to forgive all of us before we can receive God's love. Yes, God loves us, correct. But if Jesus did not die on the cross, he did not forgive us, we will not be able to receive his love. Have you made that connection? The sequence? God loves us, yes. But Jesus had to say, when he's suffering on the cross, Father, forgive them. You know, there's another verse, I think, maybe the first Peter chapter 2, something, somewhere there. It says that the forgiveness of sins is not only to us, to all, everybody, the people on the street, your neighbor, young and old, is given to all. The question is, they don't know they are forgiven. If they don't know, how can they go and to receive the gift? They can't. So we need to have that understanding and the courage to speak to whoever, the old lady sitting to you in the bus, or whoever, say, God loves you. He has son, he sent his son for us. That's why there's a Christmas. I believe in this season, you know, as you look around, deep in your being, people are not settled. You look at all the troubles in the world, you know, and it's, wow, there's no ending. Seems to be more and more trouble. The economic crisis in America each time, because we are there for 40 years, we went through several recessions. But each time it's getting worse. It's unbelievable. And just this year alone, there are two big banks, you may not know this, two huge banks in America just closed their doors. One was the seventh largest bank. The reason you and me don't know is this, because that bank is not a retail bank. They don't deal with you and me. They deal with corporations and companies. So imagine you run a company, you bank with a bank. The next day, you've got to tell your employee, sorry, I can't pay your salary. Why? Because you know, our company bank told it. Just like that overnight, several hundred billion of dollars disappeared. You know, it's shocking. So people are not settled. So Matthew gave us the accounts what Jesus was able to do in his time. Yes. Everyone should read the Gospels. Gospel means good news. Well, thank you for the good news. Good news if you want. The Bible has all the answers of our lives, has the answer to the whole world. The Bible declares, for God so loved the world, right? We know this verse so well. You know, we never get tired reading this verse. That I'm quoting this very well-known scripture from the Jewish Bible. He gave his only and unique son. In the Jewish Bible, they include the word unique, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life. You may be surprised. There are lots of people do not know the meaning of Christmas, do not know why Jesus existed, why he came 2,000 years ago. Yes, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he will return as he promised. He's going to rule the earth, which was stolen by Satan. And who is the culprit for all most of the sufferings in the world since the beginning of time? Those of us who have already responded to the call of Jesus, we know the answers. If you are still looking for the answer, some of you, I'm presenting you the evidence in the gospel written by Matthew that Jesus was born as a provision and answer from God to redeem, to reclaim the whole world back to himself. We declare and celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. The birth story of Jesus is detailed in the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. Today, I'm taking from Matthew, in a nutshell, his birth, life on earth, his ultimate sacrifice on the cross, resurrection and ascension, and his last commandment. I read, but now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet Isaiah. I just want to insert here. Prophet Isaiah said this 700 years before Jesus is born. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him his name Emmanuel." Wow, amazing this. Emmanuel means God with us every day, not only on Sunday in the church. Can any religion in the world say that their God is with them? No, never. Bethlehem, the birthplace of the king of Jews, was prophesied by the prophet Micah, Isaiah's contemporary. Apart from Jesus, who else in the history of man to report that someone was born by a virgin? Absolutely none. Matthew made it clear of Jesus' birth lineage right from Abraham, the father of faith, and through King David. Matthew, you know, the author of the first book, New Testament, a Levite. Interestingly, introduced a new king, wrote a new book, recorded a new people, the church, us, and proclaimed the kingdom of heaven at hand. All because he accepted the calling of Jesus. You know, without Jesus, without Jesus' calling, he would have remained, I don't want to use a dirty word, but as a hated traitor, a dirty tax man working for foreign rulers. You know, during the Japanese occupation, some Chinese in mainland China, they cooperated, they worked for the Japanese. And those people are hated, they're traitors. In Mandarin, it's called Hengjian. There's no dirtier word than that. I submit that, without Jesus, you and I will be worse than him. That's how I feel by myself. Without Jesus, I'll be worse than him. Who are we now? With Jesus, right? We have Jesus, that's why we're sitting here. But who are we now? Peter said, in the first Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. They say, hey, Bosio, did you say royal priesthood? Yes, it was in the Bible. All of us are priests, royal priests. If you don't believe, check out in the Bible. You can go out in confidence telling yourself, I am a royal priest. But if you think, oh, I don't have the certificate, I don't have this. Well, I talked to Pastor John. You can go to him, right? He will print for you a scroll like this, right? In the old days, you had a scroll. He will print for you. So you are now certified by Calvary Chapel, a royal priest. He agreed to do that with for you, right? Then you go out and, oh man, I am a royal priest. Then you will go tell people to your neighbor, hey, I'm a royal priest. I will bring you the good news. Bible says that. But we underestimate ourselves. But it's a false humility. You're hiding behind, oh, I'm a humble person. I'm a Chinese, we don't talk very much. The Bible says 2,000 years ago, declared you are a royal priest. Can you imagine? Wow. Because of change of lifestyle, Matthew, he walked away from his profession, right, as a tax expert, tax collector. And then he suffered financial sacrifices. Now, I read some books I will share with you, maybe not in this message, why he suffered financial loss. Because he sacrificed, because he changed lifestyle. Some of his former colleagues saw the change in his life and followed Jesus, came to Jesus. The world is watching us. Dr. Robert Morrison, the one who translated the first Chinese Bible, had his first convert, a Chinese. Not out of Morrison's message, not out of his work, but rather his teacher, the Chinese teacher, watched Morrison for, I don't know, 10 years or something. And because he observed Morrison's life, and this man became the first Chinese Christian. He became the first Chinese pastor. So people are watching us. We can go to God to ask for favor among people. God has to give us a favor so that they want to talk to us, want to listen to us. They give us a confidence. We need confidence and courage to share the gospel of hope. For we are charged, we commissioned to bring the good news to all nations, to our neighbors, to the world around us, believing that He, Jesus, did not give us the responsibility without giving us the authority. Amen. God has given us authority. So he wouldn't charge us to do something without giving us authority. Jesus said, you shall, from Matthew, from the first book, chapter 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law, all the prophets. If you notice my message talking about confidence throughout the talk, I remember our grandson, Jaden. He was young, very, maybe 3 years old, beginning to talk, walk around. He was very shy and still very shy. He's in university, very shy. And people went to him, want to talk with him. And he kind of, you know what he said? I don't talk to strangers. And we are like him. We don't want to talk to strangers. No. Hey, we have a commission. We better talk to strangers. We are given the opportunity and the authority to speak, right? And so do not be like my grandson and don't talk to strangers. Don't talk. You'll be surprised. A lot of people do not know Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't know the love of God. You'll be surprised. Jesus accused the scribes and Pharisees sitting on the seat of Moses, ruling over the people of God with their rules, many of those, and the superficial interpretations of the law. I often think of the ancient China where many of our ancestors lived. Close to 400 emperors ruled China for 2,000 years. The Chinese term for the ruler, Tianzi, it means the son of heaven. They sit on the seat of the true son of God, and they had absolute power over the fate of every citizen, of every family, even the entire clan. I read the history books, right? Now, imagine this. They actually happened a number of times. If someone is implicated, right, and his family, right, will be captured, and the neighbors, and all his classmates, all his friends, all his relatives will be captured. Can you imagine? You are sitting here, right? You will see me. If I'm caught by the emperor, you will be in jail too because you happened to talk to me before. There were cases in the Ming China dynasty, up to 30,000 people were captured because of one man. He committed something the emperor didn't like. 30,000. Can you imagine? The Tianzi, the son of heaven, the Chinese term. They stole the title from Jesus, the true son of heaven. Much of the world is changing, is chasing happiness in every way possible. A 313 Somerset for dinner recently. We were so impressed at the multitude of people. Wow, so crowded, milling around. And what were they doing? Were they celebrating Christmas? I do not know. Some of them have hot currencies, burning holes in their pockets. So they have to unload the money before their pockets were burned too. But some of them, I think many of them, do not have the hot currency, all they had was the hot air. And they were chasing happiness, fulfillment. A.W. Tozer, who wrote much about holiness versus happiness. He preached about non-materialistic lifestyle. In the 60s, I think your uncle will tell you, in Singapore, there were these huge American cars, twice the size, I think, to today's car, parked along the Hill Street, near the old city school, near the old US Embassy. But this man, A.W. Tozer, he never owned a car. He rode buses. And he thought, you know, you don't have happiness through wealth. He thought that. And he had a huge impact among many churches today. I think Singapore is a very materialistic world. It's now ranked the most expensive city in the world, right? So we need to be careful. We don't want to be caught by this current now seeking wealth. And that will not bring you happiness. With the number of degrees behind my name, I am, however, convinced that formal education is not a prerequisite to be successful in our walk with God. Tozer never went to school, public school. He was taught privately. Apart from Paul and Luke, the disciples are not known to have acquired high level of academic credentials. The simple truth is that they follow Jesus simply. Are you following Jesus simply? Are we following Jesus? Keep association with and learn from the people whom God used. Do you notice some people God used in certain ways? Keep close to that person. Jesus gave us a key to heaven that we can bind and loose whoever on earth. Wow, think about it. Take a minute to think what Jesus said. Do you believe what he said? We have the key to the kingdom of heaven, and we can bind and loose people on earth and in heaven. God will honor that. Think about that awesome privilege and the power. On the cross, Jesus suffered not only public humiliation and physical torture, he experienced for the first time that God the Father would turn his face away from him. Why? Why did God do that? Because Jesus took all sins upon him, past, present, and future. The Catholic churches will never tell you your future sins are forgiven. They tell you, well, you know, you don't know about future, you better come to repent every day. We are righteous before God. Jesus substituted us the wrath and the judgment from God. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You know, I often share this great news that after Jesus rose from the grave, he promised those who believed in him will likewise rise as he did. I share that. And I explained this simple verse to a grandmother who came from Beijing to visit her grandson in the same hotel we stayed early this month, December. She thanked me several times. She even shook my hands. It's not a Chinese custom for old people to shake hands, but she shook my hand 3 times. Right in the breakfast room, people came to pick up food, you know, buffet, right? And I laid hand on her, and she accepted the faith. and I pray for her salvation. And she followed me. She said, "Dear Heavenly Father," in Chinese. You know, it turned out that very day was her last day of stay in the hotel. Think about that window of opportunity. God is never late. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that Jesus' promise came with great authority if we exercise them? We've got to use them. You know, the wires all laid out. You've got to turn a breaker on. If you sit there, you turn, don't turn the switch, you say, "Wow, the room is dark." Turn the switch, the power all there. Do you know the end of the Matthew Gospel, commonly known as the Great Commission, was a command, not a suggestion from Jesus. It is a desire of God that all men will come to know him through his Son. In the Proverbs 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. And humility comes from honor. The English theologian in the 17th century made Paul said it well. Submit to God, yield to man. All our gifts, we have gifts, are given by God. In evangelism, do what the Lord taught you. We may all have different styles, but use them. There's no fixed way. Who can say, "I have made my heart pure. I am clean from my sin"? So don't say, "I will do something for God" when I become sinless. God uses imperfect vessels like you and me, every one of us. There are different types of evangelism. One you can use is called friendship or conversational evangelism. You just often initiate a conversation because you know God is an initiator. When you sense that in a certain person, you wholeheartedly, single-mindedly, and prayerfully concentrate on that person. Respect the person, understand their circumstances, their life stories, listen, have their interests in mind, and encourage him or her. Once they see that you care, and you may have something that they do not have, show your love by offering to ask God's favor over them. No one will reject a blessing and a kind prayer. I found out all true to be true over and over. Then you have brought a person to the very door of salvation. At that point, you don't have to push him in, or you don't have to kick him in. God will draw him in. You are a facilitator at that point, holding their hand and leading them to the Savior. What a joy each time when that happens. In the same hotel, we experience leading different people, very different people to the Lord. When we first checked in, despite the smiles and the polite greetings from one hotel desk receptionist, yet I told my wife, I developed this certain empathy for that person, for that lady. You know, I mean, she was smiling, she was kind, she greeted us, "Welcome," you know. But why I developed that feeling in me, empathy? That feeling came from the Holy Spirit. So we kept our, casual conversations. I found out, and she came to Ukraine. So okay, Ukraine, right? International news, the last 2 years. So we had a lot of conversations. To my great surprise, she decided to start a Russian. This what? I didn't want to argue with her. She came from Ukraine. What can I say? But she agreed with the Russians. She felt the Russians did the right thing to invade Ukraine. She's Ukrainian. But I didn't argue with her. I just listened and talked to her. In these chats, God was preparing her. God was preparing me for something to happen subsequently. The last evening of a month-long stay at a hotel, I went to say goodnight and thank her for her care during the month. She was very happy, friendly, and was very quiet. Nighttime. Then I said, "Can I talk to you?" I pulled her to the side from the front desk, more quiet corner. And I offered to pray for her. And she accepted. In that prayer, I led her to the Lord. And I finished my prayer, I raised my head. I see tears coming down from her face. And she thanked me repeatedly. I was so overwhelmed. So the job was done. I turned back to go back to my room. And right behind me, in the quiet night of night, there was another lady checked in late at night, but she didn't make a sound. I was startled. She gave me a smile. In that smile, I knew she witnessed everything. And she saw a person lay her soul bare to God. In that smile, I knew we was touched too. Yes, it takes time, patience, considerations, and prayers. But just keep practicing and make yourself available. Next day, as we moved out our luggages from the hotel, the Ukrainian woman again thanked us from behind the counter. The words of goodbye were choked with emotion and tears again. I was so filled with joy. I knew her salvation was sure. There's no better picture in the world than seeing a lost soul reconciled to our Heavenly Father. There's no business. I have four startups in my life. I'm here to say there's no business and there's no profession. I'm a member of many professional bodies. There's no profession that can be as fulfilling as leading people, young and old, to our Savior, Jesus. You don't have to be evangelist. I never say I'm an evangelist. I'm not. You can, as the Spirit of Christ works within you. Yield to that Spirit. Seek and help the lost one at a time. He will use you because, after all, it's his business, caring and loving someone into heaven. What presents are better than the good news of the season that Jesus was born for you and me? He came to the world so we know we are blessed in this life and the eternal life to come. Say that to your families and friends and neighbors. This afternoon, we are going to knock on doors, every door in our flat. In our floor. This season of celebration, the best gift you can give. We are, that's the good news that Jesus Christ was born. We are confident, not our abilities to save, but His. Jesus said in Matthew 28, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. I remember, I'll be with you always. This is from Jewish translation again. In this translation, the one word, yes. I will be with you always, comma, yes, comma, even until the end of the age. It's emphasis. Yes. Jesus saying yes. Who can say no? Let us read again together what the prophet Isaiah said about the birth of the Son of God from Isaiah chapter 9. Shall we all read? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and the peace, there will be no end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank his gracious name.